Dennis.
Yes.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing, Scott?
Good. Dennis, your company does what?
Mattress manufacturing.
Okay. Been doing it for a while?
Quite a while, since actually started back in the 50s, so I guess we could say that's a while.
Yeah, that's a while. That's a lot of mattress springs.
Yeah.
When you came to us, it was not too long ago, what kind of problems were you experiencing, and what really prompted you to come and see us, and what led up to that whole thing?
Well, I don't suppose we have enough time to enumerate all the problems we got here, but we can hit on a lot of them. Cash flow, bad money management, over inventory, overbuying, lack of internal controls. I think that covers some pretty good other things too. What led us to you? Aside from the fact there was a lot of desperation involved in being turned down by banks and other financial organizations due to the financial condition of the company, was that you offered us a little bit of a ray of hope, and we set up our first meeting with you, and of course things have blossomed from there.
Well, what effect, when you say that you were having these initial problems, what effect was that problem? Were those problems having on the day-to-day operation of the business?
Well, it was just getting to the point where we were near inoperable. As I stated to you some time ago, it was almost like being in a Chapter 13 without the proper paperwork being filed. It was just every facet of the business became a struggle. It was just totally uphill, and it just day-to-day it kept worsening and worsening and worsening. It's a pretty grim situation.
You know, being an entrepreneur myself, I kind of know the answer to the question I'm going to ask, at least from my perspective, but I'd be interested in hearing what other people's perspectives are. At some point in time, we usually have a tendency to think that we have to, because it's the only resource that we have to be able to resolve most of these problems ourselves. At what point in time is it that you start to feel, hey, maybe I need to go to the outside, and maybe there really are some resources available to me, short of hiring on a chief financial officer at $80,000 a year or something of that nature?
Well, I think the tough one there is anybody that's an entrepreneur knows the feeling. You like to feel that you have complete control over your own destiny. You know more than everybody else. You start to get inklings that maybe you need some help, but you fight it and you fight it and you fight it, and then you get into a position where it's almost the point of no return, and you realize, hey, I can't do it by myself.
Instead of waiting till the end for a summary for this, are there any words of advice that you can give along that line to people who are maybe going through these types of situations, to say, hey, wait a minute, don't wait until it erodes to that point? Is there anything that you can tell them to look for that's a red flag or a sign?
Well, I would say very easy. If you keep bumping into the same walls, you don't know where the doorway is.
Makes sense. That's very graphic.
I would say when you get into that position where you find yourself week to week and month to month running into the same problem, and you've got nobody to blame but yourself, it's time to fess up and testify and say, hey, I can't do it by myself. Let me at least give somebody a shot. Maybe they know something I don't know, and I think that's the thing you've got to do. None of us are omniscient.
Yes, yeah. All right, when you came to us, it was with actually a specific problem rather than a general problem of, hey, we're having financial problems in general. It was a specific problem. Could you kind of rehash that for us?
Oh, yeah. It was a problem within a broad spectrum of other problems. What the specific one was is we were working on a rather large bid. It was out of state. And the real problem with it is in order to get that bid, we knew that we had the capabilities of doing it, that if we got the bid, we wouldn't be able to get the financing for it.
Okay.
That's basically the crux of that particular problem. We knew we could get it, and we were afraid of getting it because it would have been so much business. We were in such a position we could not generate the cash to buy materials, and it was one of those good news, bad news. The good news is there's a great big order. The bad news is you ain't got the money to do it.
Yeah. So when you say the financing, you're talking specifically about financing from vendors. Either that or a loan to go out and buy the materials.
Right, and all doors were closed.
Okay, why is that?
Well, going back to the past dues, the NSF check history, just a whole lot of things. Nobody wanted to do anything with it.
Okay, so you had you
credit lines were just totally shut down.
Had you contacted people then?
Oh, we tried it. We tried everybody. We had several different groups in here who claimed that they were financial experts and were able to get private financing, and we just went through just a whole nightmare with several different outfits like that who had absolutely nothing behind them but error.
Any way that you can see those coming versus what we ended up doing, for example? Again, in retrospect, was there anything on the surface that you could give somebody the insight of to say, hey, you know, if you see this, that's a red flag?
Oh, yeah. In the initial meetings, they were talking about very unrealistic figures. I mean, right off the bat, and most recently, the three that I'm thinking of specifically all started out with, hey, well, you've got plenty of assets, no problem here, we're going to get you X amount of dollars, which was a staggering figure, but it sounds real good. Hey, we got no problem, we've got all the contacts in the world, we know these banks, and we've done it for other people. And the reality was, when you start talking about figures that are way, way beyond anything you ever dreamed of, that's exactly what they are.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So what happened when we got involved? We needed, as I recall, somewhere in the vicinity of about $80,000 worth of material.
Right.
And do you recall what... I mean, this whole thing happened so quickly. You came in and you said...
Yeah, well, we had dallied around with these other guys, and we got right up to the point where we were within hours of having to submit that bid, and we had no commitment from everybody. And as you recall, we saw you 72 hours before our deadline.
Yeah, I do recall. And what happened?
You guys got on. First of all, in our initial meeting, what I detected in this, there was no pie in the sky thing. These were very realistic figures. You addressed the problems very quickly and very promptly, and you gave realistic figures. And then you said that you could do some things, and I thought, well, if this guy can do these things, I remember I tell you I would build a monument to you.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
do you want brass or marble?
Yeah, brass is nice. Brass works.
Anyway, maybe
you can give the people who are listening some kind of an idea as to the type of approach we recommended versus, oh, yeah, we'll bring a lot of money into this thing.
No, it was a very realistic, very logical thing. The first problem was getting the financing, and we were thinking in terms of some kind of a loan, and due to all the turndowns we had before, we figured it'd be a staggering fee and outrageous interest. And what you had proposed was contacting the vendors and going through a bank with a letter of credit type thing, which was, I personally didn't think you'd be able to do it. But again, 24 hours later, I think there was 11 different sources involved in it, which actually came out to, I think, $102,000. Every one of them gave him a commitment of whatever deal you set up with him. So I was very, very impressed.
actually, you know, I want to interject what really went on here is not all that complicated. The methods that we use are really, they're creative, but they're very simplistic in their approach, and I think that that's part of the success of why it works. And it's knowing when you hit a wall that you really should look for a different wall, because that wall may be solid. There may be no door in that wall. And so what happens is, in the creative process, if plan A doesn't work, you shift and you go to plan B, and it's knowing what those alternatives are. And that's really what we did here, and in virtually every case initially, our initial efforts paid off. We went in and used a vehicle to secure the vendors so that they knew that they would get paid immediately.
Right.
And that's just logical. It makes sense. Their biggest concern is, how am I going to make sure that I get paid? So we answered that concern for them, and once we had appeased their very real concerns in that area, they said, yeah, fine, we'll go along with it. So,
you're absolutely right. And looking back at it, what it was just nothing more than very good common sense.
Yeah, and I think that's important, because a lot of times what happens is people get so caught up in the fact that they need a loan that they forget that they're trying to solve a problem, and that a loan may not be the only solution. It may not even be the best solution.
Yeah, and it's something that escapes people, because, you know, going back to, if you're in accounting 101, one of the things, your sources of financing, what's one of the things they say? Your suppliers, your vendors. But, you know, you get into a situation where, you know, I had a little bad experience with him, and you write the whole deal off and then never consider it again. That is very, very common sense from this point, that whatever you gain by it, you know, providing you set up the vehicle in which they can get paid, they also gain by it. So it's a win-win deal, and it's very, very common sense.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, I appreciate it. Any other words of wisdom you want to leave with these people? You know what?
What?
Hold on just a second. I want to ask you about another thing. You're continuing to work with us, but in a different program, and I just wanted to touch on that to let everybody know what that is. And that's our CFO program. You've just started into that, but maybe you can just give them a little flavor of what that's all about and what it does.
Yeah, what it is you and your team come out here on a regular scheduled basis. I mean, you're not hanging on everybody's shoulder, and it's just a watch what's going on, an analysis of the figures, and redirecting what's been going on, gently pointing out the errors and getting it turned around and showing what the benefit of it is. And it's actually, it's working right along with us. I mean, there's nobody here to, you know, change your whole business. It's just a revamping from within. And, you know, it's like steering a ship. You just can't slam on the brakes and turn it around. You've got to do it very gently, and that's what you guys are doing.
This is actually designed to interpret the figures that are already there. Most accountants have the numbers available, and they create the P&Ls and the balance statements and so forth, income statements, but they don't necessarily interpret those numbers, generally speaking.
Exactly. Everybody has an accountant, and they're all real good, and you end up at the end of the month with a couple of 8x11 sheets of paper with a lot of numbers on there, and if you don't start interpreting them right, you're looking for trouble.
Yeah, and so what we're doing is we're looking for the red flags, and once we bring everything in a line, then we just keep our eye open for those red flags to make sure it doesn't get back out of line, and that's what the program's designed for. Well, I just wanted to introduce that real quickly. Okay, well, Dennis, I really appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
No problem. Good talking with you.